Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation with David Winnergren, the Chief Information Officer of the Department of Navy. And joining us in our conversation is Tim Conway.
Dave, we spent the last segment talking a lot about NMCI. Now, as we look forward, if you had a choice of starting over again, what would you change about NMCI to make the process more effective and more efficient?
I wouldn't change a thing about the performance-based contracting concept, and I wouldn't change a thing about the team that we have. We have a great team working with us on the project. How we began the implementation, both from our side and from the contractor's team, we learned a lot because it really was something different for us. People really enjoy personal control, and federal agencies don't always do a good enough job of public relations work. And so I think we probably could have done a better job of selling the value proposition to our individual organizations so that when they went through the pain of having to give up something that they used to control to allow somebody else to do the work for them, although I don't know how much you could ever stop some of that cultural change issue from happening. So there's a lot we learned about how you could do the implementation smoothly. But I think that's really the only place that you probably could go back and have done it better. What I really see happened out of this was it was an amazing opportunity for us because it proved to be this wonderful forcing function. If you don't build yourself an enterprise network, you have no idea how many applications you own. I remember in Y2K days, we were keeping track of our mission critical and mission essential applications, systems. And yeah, we were looking after a couple thousand of them, And then when we put into place the Navy Marine Corps Intranet, we said to these hundreds of commands, we had their own local area networks and had built stuff to run on it. Just give us your applications, identify them by name, we'll check them out to make sure they're, complying with security rules and they work on Windows 2000 and we'll put them on the network. And those couple thousand mission essential applications grew to almost 100,000. 100,000 applications. What could you possibly do with that many? Somebody told me they were at the Gartner conference last year in Orlando, and I think it was somebody from Disney was there, and they were talking about their 4,000 legacy applications that they were trying to work their way through. And somebody from the audience stood up and said, "How could you have allowed that to happen?" And I thought, boy, I'm glad I wasn't the one up on stage there. I would have had a hard time explaining tens of thousands of them. But because you didn't have that central visibility, that ability to do configuration management, you didn't know. And so NMCI has been a wonderful forcing function to get us to do things like designate functional area managers, functional leaders for business lines in the Department of the Navy that are now responsible for looking at all the logistics applications that these different commands have built and says, this is the supply chain management program we're going to use. This is the online purchasing solution we're going to use, and we're going to get rid of these other ones. It's a phenomenally complex problem. We've done a great job of working our way down from that first initial list of 100,000 to several thousand now. But you wouldn't have been able to do that, nor would you have been able to achieve the significant cost reductions that you will get by not having to build each one of these solutions over and over and over again, unless you had built this enterprise network. We use the NMCI as the fulcrum point for bringing on board public key infrastructure and smart card technology. Every computer is going to show up with a smart card reader and middleware. You'll be ready to use your PKI digital certificates. Those kinds of changes wouldn't have been able to happen if you didn't have this forcing function of building the enterprise network to get you going.
You talk about NMCI as a transformation, and transformations are about change. What change would you say occurred in your own roles and responsibilities as CIO, and how do you see that continuing to change going forward with the implementation of NMCI?
I think, we greatly benefited from a really strategic leadership team in the late 90s as this whole vision got created, that recognized that there was sort of a roadmap of transformation that you had to do. And you had to sort of start with your infrastructure. If you couldn't get your infrastructure right, you had no hope of doing things like, digital marketplaces and knowledge sharing and those sorts of things. But having the NMCI network now being implemented is allowing the Navy and Marine Corps team to turn attention away from those network tasks to focus on the rest of that transformation agenda. The NMCI contract is a really big contract. Like I said, it's over $1 billion a year, but it is just that superhighway system. There is a whole bunch of other really important work that is being focused on and that needs industry participation and working together, creating knowledge management structures, electronic business, electronic government, web enablement of our legacy applications, building of an enterprise portal, greater security. All those pieces of work are the rest of that transformational agenda that actually gets you to be that interconnected organization that's secure and a learning, knowledge sharing community.
The Navy includes both the Navy and the Marine Corps. How are decisions made for the entire department?
We've gone through a significant restructuring over the last year, and I think that one of the great benefits of that restructuring was a tightening of those organizational relationships. So in our new vision of the world, as the CIO, again, I report directly to the Secretary of the Navy, I have a deputy CIO for the Navy. And that's Rear Admiral Tom Zelibor, who is the command and control leader for the Navy chain of command. I have a deputy CIO for the Marine Corps, which is General John Thomas, who is the director of C4 for the Marine Corps. So there's this wonderful matchup now of the person who's responsible for the command and control and computer systems for the operational chains of commands now has a working relationship with me and a very close relationship in terms of dialogue and problem solving together to make sure that the information management agenda is working in sync with those chains of commands. I then have a third deputy, Rob Carey, who works in my office, who is the deputy CIO for policy and integration, who works with me to help shape and integrate those transformation efforts along those two chains of commands. We then said that each of our major commands, or what we call echelon two commands in the Navy and major subordinate commands in the Marine Corps, imagine business units underneath of the Chief of Naval Operations and the Commandant of the Marine Corps, each must have a command information officer. And that command information officer must have a working relationship with Admiral Zelibor or General Thomas. We sort of leveraged some of the things that we learned from visits to GE about the way that they managed IT, to this idea that, you know, if you're a business unit or a command information officer, you really need to make two people happy if you're going to be successful. You need to make that business unit leader happy. And clearly our command information officers in the past did that. They worked for the head of the Naval Air Systems Command, the commander of the Naval Air Systems Command. And, you know, if you didn't make the Naval Air Systems Command's mission work, then you weren't being a good CIO for that command. But the second piece of that puzzle that the folks at GE realized a while back was, you know, you also have to have a reporting relationship with the agency CIO, because you, otherwise you'll suboptimize, right? Because you'll build great systems for, you know, I need an online small purchase system at NAVAIR, and so I go out and build one. But I'm over here at the Naval Supply Systems Command, and I say, I need an online small purchase system, so I go build one, and I'm out of the Pacific Fleet, and you see how it goes, and each one of those cost me millions of dollars. And so if you only focus on that command, you miss the important point is that we are an enterprise. And up until a couple of years ago, enterprises for us were organizations like the Atlantic Fleet, the Pacific Fleet, because that's the way money flowed and that's the way responsibility flowed. And so this new set of organizational relationships really kind of helps everybody think a step up to say that the enterprise is the Navy Marine Corps team. Because if you don't think that way, you can't build a Navy Marine Corps intranet. You can't build a Navy Marine Corps portal, an enterprise portal. You can't align yourself about interoperable, single, authoritative data sources, et cetera, et cetera.
One of the things driving management is the president's management agenda, and it calls out specific items, and one of them is e-government. What are you doing in the area of e-government?
Yeah, absolutely. E-government is so crucially important to us, and you know, there are some like terminology things we had to work our way through first. I have a PowerPoint slide that has the title of it is a constantly changing word that goes e-commerce, e-business, e-government, e-warfighting, because you know, you go out and talk to an audience in the Navy, and they go, well, we're not business. You know, what do you mean e-business? You know, we don't do that kind of stuff. You know, we're not selling products. And you're like, well, absolutely, you are a business. Your business is national defense. And you still have labor-intensive, cumbersome paper processes that you do, and that's like eating our lunch. And you need to find ways to leverage technology and get with it and get with the web and get with wireless technologies and develop e-kinds of solutions. So we have done a lot of work to really take the President's Management Agenda, and even before the President's Management Agenda, to build ourselves organizations that will help us achieve that goal. We established a Department of the Navy e-business operations office that is a single innovation center for the Navy Marine Corps team. Small cadre of government folks with a number of private sector partners that basically help you. If you're command and you say, hey, I need some help trying to figure out how to do this e-business stuff, they'll bring out, you know, consultants, they'll come work with you and help you develop solutions. They actually operate a pilot fund. We put aside $20 million and say, hey, look, let's go find great ideas and pilot new ideas. Because what classically happens in large organizations, I think government or private sector, is that, you know, you got this great idea. It's going to save us $1 million a year. I need $100,000 to make it go. And, you know, the controller says, well, feel free to use your savings. And you go, well, I don't have those yet. And said, well, I don't know. I guess you're going to have trouble getting started. And so we have found there's tremendous power in planting these small seeds of change. I'll tell you one quick story. A hospital, the Naval Medical Center in San Diego, California, a neonatologist and the CIO for that hospital came up with an idea about a very cumbersome process about how a patient goes from visiting a general practitioner to getting a specialist appointment. It was bad. It was just really cumbersome. You didn't know whether the person actually made the appointment, whether they kept it. Your general doctor didn't know if the person was getting treatment, whether he was well, until he saw the person again in 6 months. And they said, you know, what a great way to leverage web technologies and wireless devices to change this experience. And so they developed this wonderful solution where the doctor sits in the room with the patient, and he's got a little wireless device in his hand, and he's saying, you know, you have a problem, but Mary is really good at this, and she has an opening next Wednesday night. Can we lock in for that? And he just pushes the button on his wireless device and locks the patient in for the appointment right there. And, oh, here come your lab results. And we can, all the while maintaining that face-to-face contact as they work through this issue. $100,000 they needed to do this. Now, you know, I got to tell you, $100,000 is not a lot of money for the Department of the Navy. But it's an incredibly large amount of money for a hospital, right? So the e-business operations office comes and brings the $100,000, brings the private sector partner to build the solution. The neonatologist who and the CIO, which I get a kick out of because when they both talk, you really can't tell who the IT person is, you know, because the neonatologist is just like, you know, he can talk babies, he can talk web, you know, and they build this solution. They love it so much. They, not us, they, the hospital folks, take it to the Department of Defense Health Affairs Board, the Surgeon Generals for the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force, and say, but, you know, you can implement the solution DOD-wide for $2 million. And the Surgeon Generals say, you know, we were about to do something like this that had less functionality and was going to cost $20 million. We can take this idea and put it across DOD and avoid spending $18 million. It's a powerful example about how planting that $100,000 seed will help the Department of Defense avoid spending $18 million. I have the benefit of being the best practices co-chair now for the Federal CIO Council, so I'm able to start to take these ideas and the ideas that are going on in lots of other federal agencies and kind of build this portfolio of best practices that are going on that tie directly to all parts of the president's management agenda.
Well, that was an interesting point about the collaboration between the doctor and the CIO. What role does IT play during a military conflict? We'll ask David Wintergreen at the Department of Navy when the Business of Government Hour returns.